The following program is rated U for universal audiences and is considered suitable for listeners of all ages.
This is a presentation of Dream Realm Enterprises, where dreams are our reality.
Hi, this is John Russell. Just asking you to please forgive the sound quality on this podcast show that we've done. We did have some technical issues, but hopefully it came out okay, and hopefully you can at least hear Jeff and I chatting. So enjoy the show.
Bonjour, my name is Lynx. I am an ice pick, and my papa is the reason you have been so successful for the past 10 years, you pinhead.
You are listening to our third 10th anniversary special, What a Milestone, hosted by Jonathan Patrick Russell and Jeff Nile.
Good afternoon, Jeff.
Good afternoon, John.
It is the 10th anniversary of Robots of the Company, and this is our third special.
If you can yes, believe. It is.
Wow.
Boy, three is a charm.
Yeah, weren't those first two specials amazing?
They were just fantastic.
Yeah, we were actually recording this as the second one's being edited, so hopefully it all turned out amazing.
Yeah, we'll know what it turned out, and I'm sure it will be magnificent.
Of course. Wow, 10 years of the bots.
How hard to believe it.
Yeah, I scarcely can believe it. It's crazy.
We used to call it the little show that could.
Yes. You coined that phrase, I believe. And
I believe so.
It's so true. Because every time we think it's run its course, it keeps on going.
Revives itself.
Yep, keeps on.
Just like a robot.
Yeah. We've got the big 8th season coming up.
Oh, yes.
10 brand new episodes.
Yes. Yes, most of them are already recorded, right?
Oh, yeah. Everything is recorded except for the final episode, which is still being written, which is the holiday special.
Right.
Which serves as the season finale as well.
So. Yep. We still got some editing to do, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's pretty much in the can. So it's just a matter of getting the rest of it edited together and, of course, releasing it week to week. And
yep.
As you're hearing this, next week will be the season premiere.
Okay.
All right.
And what's that called?
That one is called Whatever Happened to the Robots of the Company.
Why, that's a great title. I wonder whatever did happen to the robots of the company. I'm sure we'll find out.
You'll find out
next week.
Yeah, if you tune in, you'll certainly see.
Mm-hmm. Or if you're hearing this whenever it's released, you will have heard it already.
Yeah, you'll hear it soon. Mm-hmm. One way or another, they've heard it. They'll hear it. Whatever.
They will hear it.
Yeah, they will hear it.
So, 10 years, huh? 10th anniversary. Yeah. Amazing.
It's hard to believe. It's hard to encompass because, the first special was just me talking about it, and I just couldn't. Mm-hmm. I couldn't. It's like I talked for an hour and suddenly realized I barely even scratched the surface. There's no point.
Really?
There's no point in going on because it would be a 12-hour special.
And it could very well be.
Yeah, and it could be.
Hopefully
with,
we won't bore the folks with 12 hours.
But. No, we won't do that. But and with all the material I got from the other folks, the cast and crew, I sent out back. During the spring and summer, I sent out requests from almost everybody that's
ever been participating.
Yeah, that's played a major part anyway. And said, will you answer these handful of questions? And the response was overwhelming. I mean, almost everybody that I asked recorded. That's pretty cool.
I think I even recorded something.
You did. Just so you would be heard in the proper special.
Yes, the proper format. Yes,
proper one that went out last week.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, 10 years. I mean, just think, like you started out, it was like barely 10 minutes an episode, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was something like that, 10, 12 minutes tops. And it was just meant to be this little lark. It wasn't in no way at any point that I think, well, we're going to do this for the next decade.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even see beyond episode 2, 3, 4. I mean, I thought we'd do four or five of them tops.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be it.
I believe the first season was like 2 episodes.
Originally. Until we revisited it and it became six.
Yeah, it added a few things.
Yeah.
Did a little bit of better special effects and a bit of better audio.
Yeah, and then we added some story details and added mm-hmm. Lost episodes.
Yes, lost episodes were really kind of fun. I learned a lot more about the origins of some of the bots.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite moments came in that.
I'm sorry, my mic fell out.
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry, what was one of the favorite moments?
One of my favorite moments came in that whole season one revisited, which is, I think it was an episode called The Great Lost Art.
Heart. Yes.
And it was a scene in there, I think it was that one, where it was, we just basically started with Zimmy
mm-hmm.
complaining to somebody about them staring at him, and it ends up being he's staring at himself through a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my all-time favorites.
You stop staring at me. Why is he staring at me? I don't like being sad.
Now and again, I refer back to that too. And if I find a good moment in an episode, I'll
mm-hmm. you'll I'll, have that.
Yeah, you know, I'll have that little bit. He's staring at me.
Mm-hmm. Either that or shut up, Zimtron.
Yes.
Or Punch will go shut up, Zimtron. Or whatever. I can't really do Joe's voice. Yeah,
Joe is uniquely Joe.
Yes, he is. Great. I love Joe's Butch.
Yeah, Butch.
And, we'll not say whatever character he's doing.
Well, he does have a new character this year.
Yes, he does.
I don't think it'll spoil it too much.
But everything's relative.
Yeah. Well, it spoil it too much to let people know that much that
he
is playing a new character in addition to Pudge and Lovely.
Yes, and, Lovely. Lovely is Lovely.
Yeah, Lovely. Lovely's kind of what Briscoe was, which is the character that comes on and says one or two lines and gets all the mm-hmm. laughs and then walks off again.
Yes. Exactly. Anyway, let's see. Let's move on.
Moving on. Do you have a favorite moment?
I have a favorite moment? Yeah. Actually, I have one moment of actually before we actually recorded the show. Mm-hmm. And my favorite moment was when you were doing the episode where they all turn into each other. They sort of swap psyches, basically.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Newsweek shows up, and I'm supposed to be as Zimtron turning into the Newsweek, and I had never heard what Newsweek was going to sound like.
That's right.
And, and I think you sent me a recording of her lines so I can get the gist. Mm-hmm. And I remember just recording stuff and changing the pitch and everything else. Talking in a high voice. just to try to get it.
And I remember you asking me what, you know, how do I do this? Just
right.
Thinking, well, I don't know. I think I gave you a very vague answer. I said, you'll be fine.
Yep. And I remember I sent you one sound clip with me doing the, like, altered, you know, voice. And it did sound sort of like a woman. But you went with the unaltered voice. I mean, just talking in a high voice. A high squeaky voice. Yeah. Anyway, so that was my favorite moment. And it was also one of my favorite episodes. That and the Dr. Philbot episode, mm-hmm. the original, mm-hmm. the Dr. Philbot show.
Yeah.
That was fun.
I think my absolute favorite moment is, and I can't remember if it was me or Vince who came up with the idea, but it was just hilarious. And it was the episode with the Dark Sphere and Dr. Philbot and the evil bots, where the minion bot brings him a cold drink.
Yes, he does. He
asks him what he would like, and
it was yellow something, in color.
Something cold and yellow.
Yeah, into something cold and yellow.
Eskimo wee.
Yes. What? Yes,
and then
funny.
To make up for it, he just promises to execute the Eskimo.
Yes.
And that satisfies the good doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I thought the whole Dark Smear thing was really funny. Yeah. Dr. Philbot became evil.
Yes. Which brings me to Vince Staden. I can't say enough how much he's brought to the show in all that time. He hasn't been with the show for a couple of years or so, but
right.
And it's been a huge gap, but he really helped to shape this show. And I honestly don't know if we would have gone this far if it hadn't been for him, because he came up with so many of those great ideas along the way.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't the Gunk Monster?
Yeah, the Gunk Monster.
Yes, I love that one. Gunkenstein or something like that.
Yeah. He might have even come up with Dr. Grease Monkey. I'm not 100% sure. It's all a blur at this point, but
mm-hmm.
I just know that I think that's probably, as he has said, that's probably his favorite character to write for, and he just is brilliant with that.
Mm-hmm.
So credit where credit is due. That guy is brilliant. He's a genius.
Yes, he is.
And he really has added so much to the show.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a wonderful interview with him as well.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah. Yeah, I did like the whole thing when they all turn human, the Pinocchio effect.
Yeah,
that was
Vince. Yeah, that was mm-hmm. definitely his. I had to go back and kind of rewrite bits of that because it was out there. I mean, it was a bit too risque for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do remember when he was writing that, and he was just very, very, very apologetic because
yeah.
he made
oh yes
Zimtron so ugly.
Yeah.
And I had to convince him after a while that I don't care.
Yeah.
It's a character. It's
ugly green troll of a character.
Right, right.
But to make Zimtron, up for it, to make up character. For it, he was very well endowed in certain areas.
Yes, he was, yes. Especially where his faucet was.
Yes, which is the stuff that started to get us into trouble.
Yeah.
And I had to tone it way down. And at best, it became a PG episode. And it's the only episode that is anything other than a U.
Yep.
For Universal.
Universal. But yeah, no, he was just so apologetic to me. I'm sorry I made you look so ugly. I don't care. He's a character. He's not me. He's a character. Yeah, it took me a while to convince him that I wasn't mad. He thought I'd be mad about that. But I love the way he did that.
I think everybody loved doing that episode just because they got to do something so different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a lot of it. It was probably the highlight of that season, and yet it was the one that got us into the most trouble.
Oh, I know. It
got us kicked off of the radio.
Yeah, well, you know.
But that's another story.
Foods, I tell you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
I think we should go back and do that again. Now that we're on a different, well, you know where we're at.
Yeah, there was going to be a PG episode this new season, but after talking to a couple of people, I kind of decided, well, I better rewrite some of this.
We can do a PG episode of next season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, one thing is that the robots has maintained a family friendly.
Yeah, it's very true.
atmosphere. And I have heard from people who are appreciative of that, so I don't want to step on that. You know, I don't want to step on those toes. Tempted though I am at times, just when you're writing, you just get these ideas, and it just comes from I don't know some dark place, I guess. But
probably, yeah, but, probably from the dark sphere.
Yeah. So you just when I'm writing, I just kind of go with it, and then. After I write it, I go, okay, I don't know if I'm going to get away with this.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that I had to reverse on one episode.
Oh, really?
This year, so it was involving Joe's new character and another new character, and
the
nature of their relationship. So the hint is still there, but the details are not.
I think I just edited that one.
Yeah, you did
weeks ago. And yes, I know what you're talking about.
So, when I told Joe I'm changing this, he says, "Well, I guess there's no R in robots."
No. Yep. Yes, it did get a little bit rowdy there.
It did. So, and it won't, dear listeners. When you hear it,
it's
won't.
Just perfectly G-rated.
Yes. Or you.
Mm-hmm. Universal.
Yep. Oh my God. I have skin. I have hair. I have teeth. I have bits. Wow. Hey, Zimtron.
Oh, crap. Here we go again.
Huh?
Never mind.
Say, Zimtron, where are you? Are you hiding behind that hideously ugly, mutated troll-like thing that makes you sick just to look at it?
I am that, quote, hideously ugly, mutated troll-like thing that makes you sick just to look at it.
Zimtron, is that really you?
Unfortunately, yes.
Gee, tough luck, Zimmy. Gotta say, that's a weird place for an extra arm.
Where? There. Actually, that's, not an extra arm.
Oh, God, you're right. I guess that compensates for the hunchback. Well, you know, looks aren't everything, Zimmy.
Well, that's easy for you to say. You look like a million space bugs.
So do you, Zimtron. All green and wrinkly. Yeah.
Oh, shut up, GD.
What do you think of our best... What's our best villain? What's the best villain that we've had? And you've played a couple, so...
Oh, I know. So you're
a little biased there.
That's very true. Yes, I like... Yeah, that Dr. Philbot, man, he's really the best villain.
He's one of the most
high footed.
Yeah, he's one of the most fun to write for, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. And he's fun to play. And he gets so exasperated with Duke Makedo.
Yes.
And I believe we find out why he why they are
that's
at
hint.
Odds all the time nowadays.
It's a big hint and we'll go no further.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. Always like the Excelsior myself.
Yeah. I've thought about many times how I could bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't happened yet. It won't be happening this season, but
no.
Certainly not ruling it out, because it would be great to have him back yet again.
Yes, Daddy.
Yeah.
And of course, Dr. Grease Monkey.
Yeah, Dr. Grease Monkey is... I think everybody's favorite villain, just because it's such an off the wall character that we don't even know what gender it's supposed to be.
I know.
Of course, it's a robot, but
And Sally plays her so well.
Yes.
I'm sorry, it. So well. It.
He, she, or it. Take your pick.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And we always play with that. Mm-hmm. And even Dr. Grease Monkey doesn't know what Dr. Grease Monkey is.
I'm pretty sure that it doesn't.
Confused by the question.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I always liked the pirate character too.
Oh, yes, Captain Jammer.
Captain Jammer.
Yeah, Shane Harris.
Arr, yes.
Yes, Shane plays Captain Jammer and Boffin, which are two diametrically opposed characters. You couldn't get more different characters, and yet that comes out of that guy.
I know. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Mm-hmm. I love Boffin, too.
Yeah.
Though he's not a villain.
No, he's not a villain.
No.
He's just a mixed up little engineer.
Right. He's a Boffin.
He's a Boffin, yep. For sure.
Yeah.
Who has ceased to be. Thanks to the reality bomb.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And one day he may exist again, you never know.
It's always possible.
This is sci-fi after all.
Yeah.
It's comedy sci-fi, but it's still sci-fi nonetheless.
Yeah, lots of things can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of things can happen.
What's your favorite villain?
Oh, I guess it has to be Dr. Grease Monkey. I mean, it's kind of mm-hmm. hard not to be because it is such an off-the-wall character.
Yes, that's true.
And there's just so many things, you know, that you can do with him or her. it's unlimited because...
Him or... We'll call it him or...
Yeah. That character is so off the wall and crazy, and I'm not sure if Dr. Grease Monkey really has a plan.
Got as much a plan as Dr. Philbot, I think.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, Dr. Philbot thinks he has a plan, you know.
But he can't get past the meeting.
He can never get past all the disruptions of being interrupted and people going off the wall. He's chosen unwisely for his League of Evil.
Yes, he has.
Because it's all these ineffective bots. That's mm-hmm. what they are.
And arguments, all mm-hmm. arguments. And yes, they always start with, let's go around the table here.
Yeah, he's a stickler
for... And introduce ourselves.
He's a stickler for those Roget's rules of...
the meetings.
That actually came out of real life. That.
Oh, yeah?
I used to be in a Doctor Who club.
Mm-hmm.
Fan club here locally, and the people who formed it, the guy, there was a guy that kind of took control. He wasn't really a member. He didn't call mm-hmm. himself that, but he took control of it, and he just was always insistent on it should be like a business meeting, and we should have Roget's rules of order and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah. So
that's where that idea came from of, well, we've got to do this first. And,
right.
And it just bored everybody to tears, you know, and then nothing ever got accomplished. It wasn't exactly. any fun at all.
We must take minutes, too.
Yes, exactly.
We must read the minutes from the last meeting.
Yes.
Any new business? Any old business?
Exactly. And there was like well over 100 members, and then like, two meetings later, there were 10 members.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got elected president of the club, and I said, okay, all this crap is gone.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it should have been.
But that's a long story from another age.
Yeah. So who's your second favorite villain?
Oh, definitely Dr. Philbot.
How sweet.
Considering I brought him back how many times... Since really, he's been there since season two, so
yeah.
from virtually the beginning, and
right.
it's just once I decided, okay, he could be more than just this crazy radio show host,
right?
he's crazy, he should be a
villain. He is crazy, and he went crazier,
yes. know.
As the years went by.
Maybe it was the Eskimo wee, I don't know.
Maybe that's what did it. You never know. I don't know what I'm thinking. You mess with somebody's drink, man. And it's all over. That's what it is. You mess with somebody's drink.
Now, I sent out a request for questions from the fans out there.
Oh, did you? Recently. Oh, cool.
And we did get a few responses, thankfully.
Yes, we did. Yes.
Appreciate everybody who wrote in with their questions and comments. And so I picked from a selection, and so we'll take a shot at those. Jeff, how about it?
Yeah, well, that sounds good.
Okay, you
let me go first.
Yeah, you go first.
Let's see. Maria Mazur commented and then asked a question. She says, "I love Robots of the Company and everything DRE has on their website. Your shows keep me happy while I am working third shift." Now, she was wondering if Zimmy's sordid past will ever come to light. Well, what do you think?
It could happen. Yes. I'm sure over time we will learn more and more about Zimmy, as hopefully we have. We've learned a lot about him in the past.
The way.
And he's far from finished, so.
Yes, he is. So I intend to play him until I. Well, you know. But yes, we learned a lot about Zimmy's past in a couple of episodes, including the Lost episodes.
But I have been meaning to do just an episode that focuses on that specifically.
Oh, yeah?
Him telling the story of his past. Now, whether or not what he tells is 100% accurate, that'll be enough.
Well, you know, he's got a bit of a faulty memory.
And in the new season, I sort of play with that a bit. And he starts to go into all that, but we don't get to hear it all. But but at some point, yeah, I'm thinking of doing an episode where we do have a big flashback of him and Wonderful Adventures as he sees it.
Yes, of course.
So we might learn something. We might. So, but thank you.
Yeah, Zimdraw the Swashbuckler.
Thank you, Maria, for the kind comments and the questions.
Yes.
Now, James Jimmy Haskell commented, "Robots makes me laugh. The show is so funny. Congratulations." I assume he means congratulations, but I'm not going to go too far on that. But congratulations on 10 years. Thank you. Congratulations back. And says, "Please bring back Derek and Chongo."
Yes, yes, yes. We must have Derek.
I would love to, yeah. I miss playing Chongo because it's a fun character. Honestly, it's probably the most fun character I ever played.
And I like doing Derek.
Yeah, Derek is great. To get sort of a reminder of Derek, you can listen to Polygons, number one.
Yes, Polygons.
For the pilot episode of Polygons.
He's quite Derek-like.
Yeah, there's a character in there that sounds almost exactly like Derek, strangely. Mm-hmm. But he isn't
the Derek. Funny. Yeah.
Or she isn't Derek, or whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing about Derek is a friend of mine just loves the way I play it, but hates the character. Says it's so obnoxious.
He is, but that's...
They're not doing it right.
Yeah, that's the whole point. He's supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's one of those people.
This is a friend of mine that says this. I hate listening to Derek, but I can't help it. Yeah.
He reminds me of Brainy Smurf.
Yes. He's just so obnoxious.
But yeah, I would love to.
And so smart.
Would love to bring them back. And although I can tell you it won't be happening in this season, but season 9 is happening. So there's a very strong possibility. So stay tuned, as always.
Okay. Let's see. Next question. All right. Let's see here. Tara Golden asked, "Why is Briscoe no longer a regular character. I love him.
Well, you know, I always get that question.
Yes.
And I always hear that. I love him. He's the best.
We all love him.
We all love Briscoe.
Well, you know.
He's not a regular.
One of these days.
Yeah, well, he's not a regular just because, and it's my fault, and everybody can send me hate mail, but it's when you're writing a series like this and you write for characters, there are certain characters that, you know, they go their distance, and then you kind of go, I don't know what else I can do with this character, because, and it is to the benefit of the character, he's limited in that he's just this innocent, childlike character that just has this open wonder, you know, this sense of wonder, and he,
yes,
you know, but it's kind of a one beat character as well. So all he can really do sometimes,
not because of the actor,
yeah, not,
the
not
writing,
at all because of Kyle. Kyle is great,
brilliant,
as a character. Yeah, brilliant. But it's just a case of that character, that type of character. There's only so much you can do because he runs in, he says zippity-doo, he cleans things, he quips with Zimtron and whoever, and then he zips back out. And of course, that gets all the attention. So it gets to a point, or at least it did for me, that I don't always want that character coming in and stealing everybody else's thunder.
Yeah, he is a bit of a scene stealer, isn't he?
So it just came down to a point of somehow I've got to circumvent this. I don't want to, you know, we killed him off, but, you know, were we ever really serious about that?
never actually that kill was, anybody off.
That
sure.
was shock value more than anything, but, so we tried that, and of course that didn't work, and nobody liked that. So, and we brought him back naturally, which was sort of always planned. I knew how I would bring him back and all that. So we dealt with that, and he's still out there in the robot's universe, as it were.
Yes,
he's just not always there. He pops in once in a while.
Someday he may pop up again. You never know.
Oh yeah, He that's the great thing about the characters. He can pop in, and there are certain characters like that. Come in and then leave again. And, you know, the trick is, it's such a popular character. The trick is to make...
Know exactly when.
Yeah, to know when he should pop in. And also, with the other episodes that he's not in there, to do them in such a way that you're not really... Not that you're not missing him, but just that you're not paying attention to the fact, oh, Briscoe's not in this one. Hopefully there's not that big gap where people go, well, Briscoe's not. I actually make fun of that very idea in an upcoming Polyglons.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yes, that's very true.
So we do.
There is a mention of a certain other show.
Yeah. So we do poke fun of at ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only reason why Briscoe's not a regular character is because, you know, he's not the type of character that's going to be, you know, Putch has got so much to do, and he's got so much on his shoulders. He's basically the guy in charge. Even when he's not in charge, he always ends up with all the responsibility. And it works, you know. You couldn't do that with Briscoe, you know.
And Zimmy's there always, you know, to complain and bitch and moan.
Exactly. He's that guy. And Briscoe is the innocent one that comes in with the comic relief.
Yep.
You know, Putch has all the headaches and has to make the decisions. So, you know, it's just a matter of everybody's got their their level, if you will. They've got their place in the story.
Exactly.
So, anyway, we'll move on.
And they have such a good chemistry.
Yeah. Yeah. So he will be, you know, he'll be in, he'll be out. That's just the way this show goes.
That's actually how I get Zimtron before I'm recording.
What's that?
As I always go, hello, Briscoe, my boy. And that's exactly how I get Zimtron.
Okay. Yeah, I hear you.
You know?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I used to have to do that with Happy, as a matter of fact, the person that the character we're about to talk about, because the next question comes from Brandon Tomlin, who asked, why did you kill off Happy? And that is very complicated.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can fully explain it myself, but I'll give it an attempt. Happy, I have a love-hate relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite in the same way as with Briscoe, but with Happy, it was, I enjoyed playing it, but I always have to put on that Irish accent, and it's just, I have to play it in a certain way, and so, just like what you were talking about, you have to do whatever to get into character. I always mm-hmm. had to, it's just harder for me, because I'm not a professional actor, as yeah. it were, and, I just always had a hard time getting into the character.
Yes.
And sometimes I had to redo it. And it just got to the point where I'm just like, I'm just sick of this. I mean, I love the character, but I hate playing the character, but I love the character. And,
yeah.
And, you know, I cast myself in that role because originally he was just supposed to be one of those one-off quick characters that actually Vince wrote into one of his stories.
Mm-hmm.
And that was going to be the end. I think he jettisoned him off the ship or something, and that was supposed to be the end of it, and I got this great idea of, let's bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got caught in a loop because I paired him up with Captain James,
who's
the original computer, and they made this great double act. I mean, it was just, they were such great foils for each other. It was like so much fun to write, but at the same time, it was like, damn it, now I've got to play this.
So yeah.
I took it as far as I thought I could take it, and then finally killed him off, and he is the one character. He's dead. He's not coming back.
All right.
And it
hey,
was,
folks, he may come back. Of course he's actually coming back.
Well, it was such a perfect, I mean, it really was. To me, it was just like the perfect thing. It was the perfect moment and the perfect circumstance. He mm-hmm. became the captain for a minute.
Oh, yeah.
And made this colossal, huge mistake of a decision to go to war with a son.
Yep. Yes, you can't go to war with a son and survive.
So it was the star of unhappiness. So it was like the antithesis of what he was, so therefore it must die.
Exactly.
Or I'll die trying. And he died trying. So that was my opportunity. It's like, yep, he's done.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why I called off Happy. It was the right moment. It was the right place at the right time, and I didn't have to play him anymore.
Mm-hmm. It was fun, though.
Yeah.
Such a happy guy.
Yeah.
Huh. We're going to war.
Seriously? Can you even do that? I mean, can you declare war on anyone?
Of course I can. I'm the captain. I can do anything I want. And I declare war on the star we're approaching.
The star we're approaching? Oh, dare I ask? What the heck are you talking about, Captain Happy?
I have just learned from Boffin that the star we're approaching is referred to as the Star of Unhappiness. I mean, can you believe that?
It's actually called Star Alpha 3117, Captain. So forgive my ignorance, but what the heck are you talking about again?
That's the official designation given to this star by the company. Praise the company, but the locals refer to it as the Star of Unhappiness.
And you want to declare war on this star because of a local nickname? Should I dare to ask why, Captain, sir?
Well, isn't it obvious? My name is Captain Happy. I am generally very, very happy. But this star is the Star of Unhappiness. Therefore, it is my polar opposite.
So, what do you propose we do about this star?
We're going to blow it right out of space.
So, just how exactly do you propose we do that, Captain?
Well, first of all, I'm going to climb into the space shuttle, which I've had rigged with multiple nuclear warheads.
Let me stop you right there, Captain. This is for everyone out there who actually thinks nuclear is how you pronounce it. That it is actually nuclear. It is nuclear. Only an idiot pronounces it nuclear. Oh, just had to get that off my chest. We continue explaining your inane and insane plan now, Captain Happy Sir.
Well, anyway, lungered full of
nuclear
warheads, I'm going to fly the shuttle into that star, rendering it helpless. Then, and this is the tricky bit, and the bit that will win us the war, then you, Lieutenant James, will arm the happiness with even more nuclear.
Nuclear! It's nuclear, remember!
Right, those. Anyway, you will then ram the happiness, loaded with enough nukes to destroy a sun, right into the heart of that star. The star will then explode in a brilliant flash of white light, and we will have won the war. Then the name of Captain Happy Happiness will go down in history. Don't you agree, Lieutenant James?
Oh, it sure will, Captain. You'll be remembered, all right. I mean, who could forget you? I don't think any of us could get so lucky.
Huh?
Oh, nothing, sir. It's a great plan. You go off and make your great, glorious attack on the, star, and I'll prepare the Titan, I mean, the happiness, for the finishing blow.
Right. I'm off to my shuttlecraft. I'll see you in hell.
I'm certain of that, sir.
What do we have next? Okay. Lucy Sharp asked, whatever happened to Fizz Gizzet? And Frag Meltdown?
Well, Lucy, Their relationship developed, and they decided recently to make it official, and they made a little trip to Kentucky, and it just didn't work out. No, we won't even go.
No.
I'm sure they're still out there somewhere. It's newscasting and at each other's throats. I'm sure they are. So I don't think anything's.
They're
changed.
Probably stuck in the other universe.
Yeah, they're stuck in the other universe, still arguing it out who's better and. Sniping at each other and so on, and it just, that was just another case of, that was kind of a running gag. You would have the news program interrupting the show every episode and break in and, you know, whatever. And it just ran its course, and I just one season decided, I'm not going to do this anymore. So
there you go, exactly.
I just thought the joke was over. You know, we've told the joke. We've run with it.
Sort of like the Expositron. You know?
Yeah, that ran its course real quick for me anyway. Which actually I think I was asked that too, but I chose this question instead of that, and I can answer that one too because it's basically the same answer.
It's basically the same answer.
I created the Expositrons for the purpose of I had to have somebody there to explain what's going on.
Right.
But I also already had the creditor.
Right.
who's a character unto himself. And it just all came down to, do I really need these two characters to come in and waste 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Which all they did was snipe with each other. So they were basically Fizz and Frag as well. So
exactly.
To me, it was just the same gag. And I just thought, I've got to lose one of them now.
Yeah. They were Fizz and Frag in the same body, though.
Yeah, exactly. It was the same, two personalities in the same. And that was all about casting because we had Ellie Hirschman.
It was brilliant.
And Jim Barber both tried out for the part.
Great.
And both were brilliant in the part, but in different ways.
Right.
And I said, I can't choose. They're just so great. Okay, well, let's just say it's a split personality.
It'll be a two-headed beast.
Yeah. So that was the gag on that one. And I think that's the reason why it actually picked up steam and people caught it. They were very popular characters.
Yes, they were.
They were only used for a handful of episodes. But the second that I got rid of them, I had all this backlash. I mean, it was the first time we had people contacting us going, wait a minute, why'd you get rid of these characters?
Right.
And the cast are just like, oh, man, no, you got to bring them back. And I'm just like, oh, I hate these characters. Actually, I grew to hate them because it was just pointless. It was just, it was just something that I didn't need. I didn't think it was needed to tell the story. And if we had any expository bits, the creditor works just fine coming in and saying, you know, here's what's happening. So to me, that just, and it wasn't because I, you know, I can say it now after 10 years, I'm the creditor. It wasn't because I was playing it. It was just that the creditor can come in and say everything that the expositron say in 30 seconds instead of 5 minutes arguing with himself.
Well, you did Fizz and Frank too. So.
Yeah, exactly. Again, it was the same gag. So it's the same material twice. What's the point? So
exactly.
So that's the reason for that, and it ran its course. So that's the reason for Fizz and Frag going.
There you go. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. And one more question.
That's all the explanation.
Yeah, that's all the explanation I need for that. But one more question, and this comes from Thomas Moore, and he asked, and it's not Sir Thomas Moore that you may be thinking.
No. I was going to say.
I don't think. Unless it's his ghost.
We have been time traveling.
Yeah. But how much longer do you realistically see Robots of the Company running? I don't know. 10 years ago, I didn't realistically see it running for a decade.
For 10 years,
So, I don't know. You know, that's a hard one to answer because at this point, I know there's going to be a season 9 because I have ideas. Mm-hmm. And everybody wants to do it. So.
And we did take a break there.
Yeah, we did.
We 7 and the coming
technically, season. We've taken, 2 years off?
Right.
That wasn't intentional. About a year and a half ago, we started season 8, and we actually recorded an episode, which is ultimately becoming episode 2 of this season,
right?
With some changes, but and there are various reasons for that, which we'll discuss. On
yes,
it was. I don't know. I mean, as long as people want to hear it, as long as the cast want to do it, as long as I have ideas in my head and anybody else who hops on to this train and starts writing for it wants to do it, then we'll do it. It may not be a regular, you know, I can't guarantee that we're going to have a new season of 6 or 10 or whatever episodes every year.
Mm-hmm.
We've taken years off before, so it may become like the Red Dwarf of audio. It
will That's very true.
Pop up when there are new ideas. So as long as it's fresh and new and the storylines don't feel like they're getting old. I have to confess, I'm disappointed in season 7. It's not really a season. It was two sets of specials that I cobbled together and called season 7. And I can't say that they were our absolute best moments. It had its moments. But
yes, it did.
I will be honest with you. I was kind of running a little dry at that point and just trying to keep things going because people wanted to keep hearing it. So I was doing my best, but I had a lot of different things going on, and it was just the beginning of a writer's block that ended up happening.
Well, that happens too. You know?
Yeah. So, which is why, getting back to the other thing, that season 8 is just now happening, rather than happening a year and a half ago when it was planned.
Yeah.
Because as soon as I started writing the early parts of that season, I had one script, which were recorded, and I was working on one or two others, and it just sort of wasn't there. I just couldn't see it. I couldn't feel it. I just didn't know what I should be doing, and I wasn't happy with what I was doing.
And I know what direction to take it.
Yeah, exactly. I knew there was a change that was needed, but for some reason, it just didn't have that feeling. It just wasn't robots, and it was just no, we're not going to do this. And I said, you know, just give me some time. Let me think about this. And I went off and I tried to do some other things and I still couldn't do that. And I finally just took a break altogether from doing any writing.
Sometimes you just have to.
Yeah. And this year, back in the spring, I got back into it. And for some reason, it just clicked. It just hit.
Yep.
And it was meant to be. I was going to do 5 episodes. So it was meant to be, you know, a 5-episode season. And
it expanded, didn't it?
Yeah, it has grown as it's gone. It's not going to grow anymore. 10 episodes is what you're getting. Mm-hmm. But it just all came together, and it works. And the thing is, the idea that I had for the original season 8 ended up also working its way in. So it's kind of like 2 series. It's just like, and yep. that's how I decided to do it. Every other episode is different. It's like the first episode is now, you know, it's the current. It's what's going on with the bots. Episode 2 and pretty much every even episode. Yeah. Every episode, basically the one will be current. And then the other is going to be like a flashback of what happened, you know, months before, a year before, whatever.
Yeah.
On the ship. One part takes place on the ship, and they've crash landed on another planet.
Yep.
So the other will take place on the planet. So it's kind of like 2 series in 1. You're getting a bonus.
Exactly.
Double the show for the same amount of money. Nothing.
Exactly. Well, yes, I know. Everybody pays just so much to get the show. But
yeah. But anyway, I think probably we should try and wrap this big anniversary up and get on to the new season.
Yes.
Everybody's ready for that. We've got
Yes, we're all ready for the new season.
And we're going to preview season 8. So
yes,
listen for that. Stay tuned. We'll have a little preview here, and we may have a bigger preview that you can download separately.
Yes.
And then there are a bunch of interviews that you're going to get throughout the season, of fuller interviews that you didn't get to hear all of last time.
Yeah. And the new characters.
Yeah, we got new characters, new cast members.
Mm-hmm.
Victor Aurelius plays a couple of characters this year, who everybody knows from Jeff's work with the 4077th.
Yep.
And that other talk show podcast thing you did.
Yes. Whispers in the Dark.
Whispers in the Dark, which I was a guest on a few times. Great. Great experience. Yeah. Love doing
this. Yes, you took over one day.
Yes, we did. Dream Realm took over for our 10th anniversary.
Yeah.
Or something like that. But, but Victor was actually supposed to host with us, and for various reasons he didn't get a chance to, but he's done us an interview.
Oh, yes.
So he's definitely involved in these proceedings, and he plays 2 new characters. One is called Crusher, one is called Prentice, and they're brilliant because he makes them brilliant.
Funny stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. There's just so many fun things going on in the new season. It really, for the first time in a long time, it feels like Robots of the Company. It really does. It just clicked. Everything has clicked. From the writing to the acting to the way it's coming together, it's just.
Yeah, so I've heard a couple of the new episodes. Yeah, you know, we had editing it. They're very, 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 very funny.
Yeah, it's really coming together. I think everybody's going to enjoy this, and I think everybody's going to go, "Wow, it's back!" You know, it's really back. It's not just, you know, them trying to carry on, and it's pretty good. It's really solid. It's good. not to toot my own horn, because yeah, I've written them all, but if it weren't for this talented cast that we've got, amazing people like
They are like that guy that plays in. Never mind.
yes, yourself, Jeff. David Ault is in, playing a major character.
Yes, we love David.
New character. Of course, we mentioned Victor Aurelius, Deborah Adams. The list goes on. I mean, Gary Erickson is back as Lynx, Sphinx's son. I can reveal that old Sphinx, he will be back at Christmas. So he will be doing a guest stint. So I'll go ahead and reveal that now.
Good old Sphinx. So good old Frenchie.
We've got a great cast this year, and I'm very happy with everything and everybody.
Yes.
It's been really something special. We've also this is going to surprise a lot of people. We've got a new theme tune.
Yes, we do.
This year, done by a fellow named Patty Leish. Mm-hmm. And he's brilliant. He did the Doctor Who theme tune for Jeff's Doctor.
Yes.
And he's doing the robots theme, and it's mm-hmm. it's really awesome.
It is.
We will, of course, miss Daryl's theme, but it's gonna echo there.
Yes.
So he's fully aware that somebody else has done it. And
Daryl will be back too.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's a certain toaster. Toaster, yes. He's back as Popsicle. I couldn't imagine it without. There's certain characters I couldn't quite imagine doing robots without. And Popsicle, Zimtron, Putch.
Putch.
Those guys, I they're kind of the staples. I can't see how we would get by with it without
exactly
those three alone and
yes.
and a few others. So
mm-hmm.
We
got our Sphinx stand-in.
Yeah,
with Lynx.
Yeah. When Jim told me he probably wasn't going to be able to do it regularly,
mm-hmm.
he might be able to do some guest appearances. I was just like, "Oh, what am I going to do?" That was just like, that's one of those characters I just thought I could never do without, because Sphinx and Zimtron are such a great double act. It's just like,
yes, they are.
What can you do?
They're so like bickering old ladies.
So of course I came up with the concept. Okay, he has a son,
and
they're basically they're very much alike in a mm-hmm. lot of ways. It's different. I mean, Gary doesn't play it. He doesn't try to be Sphinx.
But he's close. He's pretty
good. He's got the same attitude. You know,
mm-hmm.
He's got the same high opinion of himself as his daddy does.
Mm-hmm.
So he's
wonderful. A little Sphinxy clone.
Yeah, he's wonderful in that role, and he's wonderful in that position. He's made you not miss Sphinx quite as much.
Right. And I still get to call him Frenchy.
Yeah. So somebody there to bicker with Zimtron. Yeah, we had that.
Exactly.
We had that. And now it's just kind of become a trio. It's just like Zimtron and Lynx and Popsicle are kind of like a trio of bickerers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's a lot of fun. That's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
So it all works. Dr. Philbot's in there with his crazy league. And
yep. We learn a few bits about their, you know, their relationships.
The relationships, the interpersonal relationships of the league, their new league members. It's just all gonna, you know, tune in to this season. You're gonna love it.
Yes. But, new league members, old league members. Yeah.
But
still driving him crazier.
Yes, crazier than ever before.
And now an extended preview of the season premiere episode of Robots of the Company, entitled Whatever Happened to the Robots of the Company.
Captain's Log, Day 122. It's been over 6 months now since we crashed onto this new planet, in this new universe. Any hope we had of being found and rescued has long since left my mind. Can't say the same for the rest of the crew. The rest of the crew that we managed to recover so far. As it happens, Captain Hancock and his first officer, Mr. Prentice, have been missing since we made planetfall. During the crash, the bridge of the SS Black Crow was ripped away from the rest of the ship. It must have impacted on another part of the planet. Unless, of course, it simply burned into ash when we came through the fiery atmosphere. The long and short of our situation is this. We don't know where we are, except that we're marooned on a strange new planet in a strange new universe. Things don't seem to work the same in this universe as in our own. How do I know that? It's simple. Strange things happen here all the time. All the time. At any rate, most of our crew seems to have survived the crash, including our reluctant passengers, Dr. Philbot, and his hapless crew, which call themselves the League of Evil Bots. Yeesh. They still give me the shivers, even though they tend to keep their distance, and get up to a little more than having fruitless meetings on a daily basis.
But, well, thanks, Jeff, for joining for this big anniversary special, the third one.
It was fun.
And thanks for all the hard work on Season 8.
I'm happy to do it.
So you guys tune in starting next week if you're in linear time.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, go find it and download it. But Season 8 is out there, will be out there, etc.
Yes, we will.
Hopefully you'll enjoy it. Let us know what you think. Feel free to email us. And
let us know. You always say, as the critter always says, drop us a line.
Yes. Please let us know. Anyway, happy 10th anniversary to us.
Yes.
And we will be seeing you again soon, folks.
Yes, see you soon.
Have been listening to our third 10th anniversary special. Do they really need three of them? Of Robots of the Company, entitled What a Milestone, featuring Jonathan Patrick Russell and Jeff Niles as your hosts, which also featured a special cameo appearance by Gary Erickson as Lynx. The Robots of the Company theme tune was composed and performed by Daryl Looney. The incidental music was provided by Kevin MacLeod. The post-production editor, producer, and director of this special was Jonathan Patrick Russell. The series Robots of the Company was created by Jonathan Patrick Russell, and the copyright is held by Dream Realm Enterprises. You know the drill. Any rebroadcast or reproduction of this program without the express written permission of Dream Realm Enterprises is strictly prohibited. But if you ask nicely. Thank you for listening. We invite you to visit us on the web at dreamrealmsite.com. And if you'd like to email us with any of your comments or questions, it's quite welcome. You may do so at darkbuilding1@yahoo.com. That's dark building spelled out with the number 1@yahoo.com. We were being overwhelmed by technical issues during the making of this audiogram, but we meddled through anyway. Meddled, muddled, I don't know the word. Tune in next time for the 8th season of Robots of the Company. That's right. A whole new season of shows begins real soon right here on the website as we bring you 10, count them, 10 brand new episodes of The Bots. It all begins with an episode entitled Whatever Happened to the Robots of the Company. And believe you me, you won't want to miss that. Believe it. Until then, this is the Creditor, as always, asking you to please stay tuned.
This program is copyright 2015. All rights reserved, and is brought to you by Dream Realm Enterprises. The journey continues.